Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is George McWiggin, Superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District. George, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Jaron, how are you?
I'm doing great. I know everything with COVID related, it seems like we're finally starting to see that light at the end of the tunnel. So it's definitely been some good news. And speaking of COVID, I think that's where we're going to start, since it's now, this is the fourth day now that we've had students back in school. Specifically here in the region, we were a little bit later than the rest of the province due to our high COVID numbers, but they have been dropping. So definitely good news. Maybe just to start off, how have the first three and I guess a half day been so far this week?
In talking with the principals, and I visited a few schools as well, there's a lot of excitement, I think, from the students getting to see their peers again and being with people, and our teachers being with the students, and the students being with the teachers and the staff. I think extremely positive, for the simple fact that education is not all about tests and textbooks and the socialization and learning how to be with people and the joy of being around others and building, having relationships and building relationships is a key important part of education. And that's, COVID has really had us suffering because of that.
Mm-hmm. And I like to joke that I was the same way, but my little brother is not the biggest fan of school, but I will tell you, just talking to him, he really wants to go back to school instead of virtual learning. I've never seen him so excited for school before. So it definitely makes sense when you hear from you and just everyone else saying that, you know, in-class learning is so valuable.
Yeah, you don't realize how much you miss something until you don't have it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I'm curious. I know that there were a few schools that were still dealing with either an outbreak or they were just on the Alberta's alert list at the start of the week. I believe all the schools, all the classes were able to go back. Most of these cases developed while everyone was virtual learning. How many schools within your district are still, experiencing some cases and are still on the province's eye right now?
Now we had at one point, I think there was 8 or 10 of them, but we're down to a couple left. We had some calls from AHS in the last couple of days taking schools off outbreak lists. So I think St. Anne and then St. Kateri yesterday, Father Mercury before that. So we believe when we look at our spreadsheets and information, that all our schools will be off the outbreak by the end of this week.
Oh, that's fantastic news to hear. And I hope we hear the same news coming from the public school division as well. As I mentioned, we definitely like to see all the kids go back to school. It's definitely a feel-good story right now during COVID. Before we take our first break, still want to talk a little bit about COVID. Specifically, I know that rapid testing was done at a couple of schools, or I know it was done on Tuesday, and I believe it's happening again today, specifically the high schools, Father Mercury and Holy Trinity. Can you share a little bit more information about the program?
Sure. Both school divisions were contacted through Alberta Education, and they expanded the rapid testing, and they wanted to put it in place in our schools. So we work with them in conjunction with them. We set it up at Holy Trinity on Tuesday, and then the public school was yesterday, then ourselves at Father Mercury today. and completely voluntary, had the forms, consent forms needed to be signed and brought in and presented to the contractor through Alberta Education that they use. They set them up in the small gym. It's not an invasive test. It's just slightly inside the nose, gets a rapid test. It's really to find the asymptomatic positive person, and if they find that person, usually you get the result in about 20 minutes. You can then remove that student from the classroom, have the parents come and get them, and then they go for an AHS test.
Yeah.
And then once that is positive, if it comes back positive, then you would isolate the class. But what it does, it enables you to isolate the student quicker, so to lessen the impact on other people inside the building as close contacts. Really, really helpful when you look at a high school grade 10 to 12 student who moves through four different classes in a day. If you can identify the student first thing in the morning, then if it ends up being a positive, then you're only impacting that one class and not all four classes, and not all four teachers and educational assistants. So it lessens the impact. So the time of the year right now, we still wanted to do it. It's a tough time. There's only 3 weeks left of school. But I think it was important for us to do it.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that it's kind of tough to talk about Father Mercury right now because that's ongoing. But specifically with Holy Trinity, you mentioned that it was 100% voluntary. Do you know how many students actually took part in it? Did we know if there was any positive cases coming out of it? Can you talk a little bit about some of the numbers at Holy Trinity?
Yeah, we had 68 students voluntarily did the rapid test, and then a number of staff, and there were no positive tests.
Well, right there, that's some positive news.
Yeah.
Fantastic news. And I think it's also important to note when we talk about asymptomatic cases too, that we've noticed, and it seems that the younger generation are the ones who are very asymptomatic, just because it seems like it's definitely some more severe cases once you start getting older and you have some more underlying conditions. So it makes perfect sense that you'd want to have to set up some of these rapid tests in some schools.
Yes, and I think it's a good thing. It's in other communities, and I mean, when you look at where our community was, I think it was an important feature to put in as just another tool in the toolbox, really. It's just to give us some more ammunition to do whatever we possibly can to keep COVID out of the schools and keep everybody safe.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to continue our talk with George McWiggin.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is George McWiggin, Superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District. And before the break, we were talking about students and staff returning to school this week. We talked a little bit about rapid testing, specifically at Holy Trinity. And George, I want to get into the discovery that happened in Kamloops a few days ago, the remains of 215 Indigenous children at a residential school in the area. I don't want to get too much details about, you know, the experiences that these Indigenous children had to go through, and we recommend that people who want more information, you know, go online and they can get educated on it. But I'm specifically curious as to your opinion on, do you believe there needs to be more education when it comes to residential schools? Because that's one of the big calls we keep hearing from a lot of Indigenous groups here in the RMWB.
Certainly, Jaron. I mean, we're moving in that direction, but we certainly still have a long way to go. When you look at the what happened in Kamloops and what has been discovered, now those children have been released and the families and et cetera will be able to deal with that. But what really it speaks to is we can no longer, as Canadians, have our heads buried in the sand. This is truth. This happened, and people can no longer say that, oh, it's an exaggeration, and it's the truth. And until we internalize that truth and do something about it through reconciliation, the calls to action, and the key way for us to be able to move forward is through education. And it comes with us in our generation of students that we have now and teaching them in the classroom, and we are doing those things. We've got excellent Indigenous liaisons in all our schools. We're implementing more and more resources all the time in our schools. Is there more that we need to do? 100%. But we are moving in the right direction, and we'll continue to rely on the elders in our community, the people of our community, the Indigenous people of our community, to continue to teach us. And we need to open our ears, and we need to listen. That's why the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth, because we need to listen twice as much as we speak. And there's a lot of knowledge in our region, in our community, that we can rely on and to learn from. And we, as Fort McMurray Catholic Schools Division, will continue to do so. So as sad as it is, it's a point that I think finally maybe people have come to the realization that this happened and we need to deal with it and make sure that we can bring closure to this by reviewing all the residential schools that are across the country. Mm-hmm. And making sure we do take this and figure it out, and so we can bring it to closure, because there is no closure yet.
For sure. And I believe it was Premier Jason Kenney mentioned earlier this week that under the current curriculum, residential schools are taught starting at grade 10. Is that correct?
I believe so. But when we talk about it, certainly our like I said, our liaisons in the schools are in the classrooms, and they working with students. And so we incorporate different aspects of it depending on the age level. But with the new curriculum that's being developed, I know there's a lot of controversy over it, but that new curriculum has to make sure that the calls to action and the truth and reconciliation and residential schools and all the aspects of our Indigenous people and their culture and the rich culture that it is, we need to make sure that that becomes front and center for our people.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take our last break in just a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit more on a positive note. And when we're talking about, you know, our Indigenous brothers and sisters, specifically within the Catholic School District, I know that there was a virtual event earlier this week where we got to honor and celebrate all the Indigenous graduates in the district. And I believe that was the traditional celebration of achievements. So maybe just talk a little bit about that. I know you guys sent me some notes a little bit about it. And it seems that, you know, the Indigenous students, there was a big chunk that were able to graduate quite higher than the provincial average.
Yes, Jaron, this is a topic that's dear to my heart. This whole traditional celebration of achievement, recognizing the students who graduate from high school, began with myself many years ago now, when I was principal of Father Mercury, myself, Elder Irene Ludet, and Julia McDougall, who works with the public system. And it started with, I think, 15 or 16 students in the cafeteria at Father Mercury High School. And now we've grown into well over 100 Indigenous students graduating from high school each and every year in the region. And specifically for our Catholic school division, it's always been my passion and my focus to continually increase the opportunities for Indigenous youth. And that's why I talked about education earlier. Not only is education the key for reconciliation, education is the key for future success for our Indigenous students. So very much so, we've been consistently been in the high 80s when it comes to the graduations of our Indigenous students in our school division, significantly higher than the provincial average, which always sits right around 50%. So we're quite proud of that. But our goal is not to finish high school. Our goal is for our Indigenous students to finish high school and with a career pathway in mind that they can pursue onto post-secondary education and or trade, whatever the case may be, whatever it is they want to do. So we move the needle to that, and it's not about finishing high school for us anymore. It's about more training and have a successful, responsible adult life and be a member of society and give back and help the next generation. They're now called, these graduates now are now called by their creator, by our creator, to now become models for the younger people coming behind them.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with George McWiggin.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is George McWiggin, superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District. And before the break, we were talking about residential schools. And we also had a chance to chat a little bit more about the traditional celebration of achievement, which recognizes and honors First Nation, Métis, and Inuit graduates across the region. Now, speaking of all graduates, Indigenous and non-Indigenous, we do know that grad is going to be happening in the coming weeks as the school year is coming to an end. It seems like it was very, I guess I wasn't in the school, so it could have seemed like a very long year, but it seemed like this year went by really, really quickly, and I'm assuming COVID had a big part of that. But specifically when it comes to grad, are there plans in place right now to have in-person ceremonies, or is it all going to be virtual this year?
It's a combination, very similar to what we were able to do last year. Both our high schools have put together virtual presentations with the remarks from dignitaries, some other things from the students themselves. And both schools are looking at putting in a drive-through celebration for the families, and they'll set up outside, and the student will be able to get out with mom or dad, and come up on the stage and receive their diploma, and there'll be some remarks made, and then a picture taken. And then they'll be back in their vehicle, and then we'll move on to the next one. So they're busy at the schools, both Holy Trinity and Father Mercury, trying to piece everything together. So it went very well last year. It's certainly not the best from what we've had graduations in the past, but you know it doesn't take away from the success of our graduates and how proud we are of them. And knowing that they are completing their formal education years, and like I said earlier, ready to tackle the world and go after their career pathways. So both schools and the school division, our trustees and everybody, are really looking forward to having a successful graduation and for the students to do have some sort of a celebration. It will be well planned, and our schools do an exceptional job, and the staff really love the children and love our graduates, and they'll make sure it'll be a special event for them.
Mm-hmm. Are you optimistic that the next school year, starting in September, will start to feel like, you know, back to normal, where hopefully classes won't have to, you know, keep going into isolation? Obviously, COVID is still going to be around. I feel like it's going to be kind of like the flu. There's going to be the odd case here and there. But do you think that there's going to be that sense of normalcy, you know, at least for the next school year?
I firmly believe, if you look at the direction we're going now as a province, and with the number of vaccinations occurring, and that keeps going up, that's going to lessen the degree of issues, I think, in communities and the schools. So I'm eternally optimistic that we'll be back to, I guess, what everybody's referring to as the new normal when we come back. And I think you're correct, Jaron. COVID is not going to go away, just like the flu doesn't go away. But we'll be in a much better position, I think, come the fall to deal with it. So we're really looking forward to getting ourselves back into the school and the school year as normal as we can make it, knowing that we've got quite a bit of work in front of us to fill the gaps in student learning that we know existed, especially in our youngest of children who are still learning how to read. Those are the students we're going to be focusing particularly on, and that'll be our main goal for next year, among other things that we'll have to do. But 100%, we're looking forward to a much better year of consistency next year.
For sure. Well, we have just a little bit of time left, and I know that the end of the year is coming, and the Catholic School District has a few retirements. Every year, people, there are some retirements, and we want to make sure that these individuals every year are, you know, showcased and they're highlighted. I don't think showcase is the right word, but, you know, all the work that they've done is highlighted. So, George, I'll let you take it away when it comes to retirements.
Certainly. Every year as a school division, we have our long service awards. And again, with the pandemic, we haven't been able to have those in person the last 2 years. So we create a virtual event where we put together all the things that we need to. And that's going to be released to our schools today. And then tomorrow, the long service recipients, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, and then our retirees are all recognized in each individual school, all the gifts and everything are at the school now, and we have a professional learning Friday tomorrow, so they'll take some time in their own individual staff to recognize them. And in particular, I want to thank all the individuals who are retiring this year. They have put their heart and soul into the vocation of being involved in education with the Fort McMurray Catholic School Division, and they have done an exceptional work with us. We're happy for them to reach this stage and this decision in their life and on to the next part of their life. We're sad to see them go, obviously, but we sincerely thank them on behalf of our board and the community for what they've done for the children in our region.
That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.